Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. I am your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and it's always my pleasure and delight to be with you. My co-host, Veronica McMillan, will not be joining us tonight as I have a special guest, Alicia Taylor. And before I jump in to bring Alicia on, I just want to welcome my guests tonight who are hanging out with me in the chat room. Thank you so much. And for our first-time listeners, we thank you as well. I'm so excited to be with you. Normally, we're on Thursday night, but tonight we have a special program, so we wanted to come and introduce you to this young lady so that we could talk about what she's doing and all the great things that she has accomplished and all the endeavors that she is pursuing in her career. But first, Issues Concerning Women focuses on women and their families reaching long and short-term goals, assisting them in the areas of business, careers, housing, finance, and life skills. I want to tell you a little bit about the Micro Nonprofit Network, which is hosted by my good friend Veronica McMillan. It's all about small nonprofits, organizations become foundationally strong through education, coaching, mentoring, and program development for 501c3 organizations. We offer advocacy services to infuse and stabilize households and foster a sense of community involvement, self-worth, and self-determination. Our vision is to empower women through hands-on demonstrations, details of home ownership, career development, investing for retirement, exercise, and nutrition classes. We also do a lot of programming on entrepreneurship, relationship building, and adult literacy programs. We are dedicated to making a difference in the lives of the families that we serve, but more importantly, in our own lives as we look forward to a bright future. And tonight, I would like to introduce you to Miss Alicia Taylor. She's going to be our guest tonight, so let me bring her on. Alicia, are you there? Can you hear me?
Hi, Alicia. Hello?
Are you there, Alicia?
Hi.
Yes, I am here.
Can you hear me okay?
Hey. I can hear you now. Hey. How are you?
Great.
Well, so welcome to the show. Thank you.
Yes.
Absolutely. So we're just excited to have you with us tonight. And so, ladies and gentlemen, Alicia is a therapist, and she has an extensive bio, so I'm not going to read all of it. But she has a podcast called What I Know. And she touches on issues that are relevant to real people and real life experiences. And she has over 20 years of experience in human services. And she is a loving wife and mother. And so I want to bring Alicia on so she can tell you a little bit more about herself. Alicia, the audience is ready for you. So can you just tell us a little bit more about your podcast and what you're doing? And then we have some questions for you.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I thought you would never ask, Francine. I've done so much. Let's see. How do you sum up a lifetime? I would say I have dedicated, and I say dedicated my life and my career to the entire field of human services. And I say human services sort of chose me. As my mother says to me all the time, it's a calling, and she thinks it is I am doing ministry work and that everything that I've done so far. So for me, from working with homeless families. I've been an executive director of two homeless shelters in Hampton Roads. I've worked in foster care. I've helped parents, biological parents, regain custody of their children, which unless you've worked in this field and you've seen what that looks like when a parent loses their rights are terminated. Their rights are terminated, and you don't want that. So you work extra hard to assist families, and so I was awfully proud of that work. But in addition, I've also worked on the military bases. I've helped in deployment. I've helped with careers readiness. I've worked through social services and group homes and you name it. So if it's a field in human services, I have probably touched on it or worked in it in some way, shape, or form. And so fast forward to now, I decided, I woke up one day and said, although my family had been pushing me for years, but I had a moment in December, a medical moment, which I thought, okay, I am doing things differently, and I am going to use all of these years of experience, and let's see how I can help. And I started off with, oh, if I help one person, people like me who do social work, you say, if I can help one person, I'm happy. And then I realized, no, well, if I can help one, maybe I can help 10, 100, a million. So thus the podcast, What I Know, was created with a lot of urging, and it has been wildly successful. We just started the new year, but we received growth and support and love from listeners from the United States to Ireland and the UK and Guam, and so they are listening, and I think that is just because it is relevant, useful, I always say applicable content that people can walk away and say, oh, I understand that, because I'm talking about how your career affects your mental health, how your heart, how your relationship, if you're in a dysfunctional one or not, what that looks like, being a single parent, being in the military. I like to connect the dots to how your everyday life can affect your mental and emotional health.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And so it sounds like you jump started it and it's going well. So I know you talked about a plethora of topics. So what is the topic that you are addressing in most of your podcasts? Because I know you talked about mental health. So if that's the area, so could you explain a little bit more about exactly what it is that you touch on?
Absolutely. For so many people, because even now, there's so much stigma when you say mental health, it still is, all of these years later, it is still taboo. It is still a subject, especially minorities in certain cultures, where it's just not something you talk about. You don't talk your feelings. You don't talk about your mental health. But I like to come at it in a way that everyday people can understand that, because I remember having someone, even my husband, he tells people, and he want to hand out my card, and he'll say, hey, he does mental emotional health here. And they'll go, hey, man, I don't know what you're thinking. I'm not crazy. I don't need any help. And not realizing, so one, I said, hey, actually, you can't pitch it that way. But two, everything in your life affects. I don't care if it's where you worship. I don't care if it's your job, if it's your relationship with your children, with your in-laws. It does have bearing on your mental and emotional health. And the sooner we realize that, the sooner people are going to, okay, I didn't realize that. Oh, okay, and then when I show, okay, these are symptoms. Are you withdrawing? You're isolating. You're indulging. You're spending too much. You're gambling. You're overeating. You're sleeping in late. You're not sleeping enough. You dread going to work. You're sitting in your car. So I like to make the connection. So the overarching is definitely mental health, which is why I took the time to even get a patent, a trademark, mental energy, because I'm always telling people to keep your mental energy up, but to realize when it's down, because you have to emotionally check yourself, because I tell people, I explain it like a bank account. emotionally or mentally, when you have given so much, just like in the bank, if you don't have money in there, if you don't, you want to buy something at $1,600 and you only have $1,000 in the bank, then that can't happen. You can't take out what you don't have in. So I'm often telling people, emotionally or mentally, be able to have checks and balances with yourself, because you can't continue to give and give and give. Then you work in a deficit mentally. And then that's when you break down and stress and all, you know, so many other things can happen. So I'm always telling people to be aware of their mental health.
Okay. That is great information that you're sharing. And I'm pretty sure that people that are listening are just wondering, since you're saying check yourself, is there something that they should be doing or something they should be looking for if to determine if they're in danger of needing additional help?
Absolutely. There are so many signs and symptoms, and I think, again, like you said, the trick is knowing it. And just because I do it and that's something I do every day and I've been in this field, but when I share with just lay people, and that includes family or friends or colleagues or neighbors, it means, what does it look like? So how has your daily functioning impacted? If you can ask yourself, is my life the exact same way it was? Am I functioning at the same level? Which, you know, again, it could look like my diet. Am I eating more? Maybe, and sometimes some people will eat to compensate for something else. Or maybe, in my case, if I'm upset, I stop eating. And my family realized that, okay, so it's always good to, you know, have someone close by that knows you, too, to say, hey, I noticed you barely ate anything. You're eating energy bars, and I see you drinking a lot of coffee, and coffee is my weakness. But that has to be balanced. Or maybe you're sleeping in late a lot. So when there are small things that are happening, you change the way you do things. You know, you're overspending, you're overindulging, you're hanging with a different crowd. There's so many signs, you know, that, and they could be really subtle. It is just how long and it's okay for occasionally you sleep in, you know, you have that day. But if this is happening every day, if it is keeping you from doing other things that you typically would enjoy, so if you lose interest in the things that used to bring you enjoyment, if you went out with your girlfriends every Friday night, if you played a pickup game of basketball with your friends on the weekend, when you start to withdraw or isolate, or, again, lack interest in the things that you previously did, those are just, you know, some small telltale signs that is, you know, maybe you need to talk to someone.
Okay, great. So that's good to know. So I'm sure that a lot of people don't even realize that they may need some help and they may need to see someone because this is how they've been functioning. So they don't see anything wrong with it. So I hear what you're saying, and I'm hoping that the audience can pick up on that. And I always tell people, when you're listening to my show, you better take some notes so you can write some things down and go back to it later. So yes. I like the name of your show, and it's called What I Know. So how did you come up with that name for your podcast?
Oh, What I Know. Because I've been writing a book, Francine, for in my head about 15, 20 years now. So that book hasn't come out yet. And I would always say what I was writing about. And even when I'm writing, it is something that people that know me, it's something that I say, especially with clients. I would say oftentimes clients would think that you could not relate to them because of their circumstance, because I work with a lot of underserved people. And when I say things to them, I would usually finish it by saying, I'm telling you what I know, not what I heard. And so people knew me for that little catchphrase for so long, and they go, oh, I said, that's right, I'm telling you what I know, not what I heard. No, this is the real thing right here. And so I said, I say that so much, and it was really short. if you're going to do a podcast, you don't need anything very long. But that was just, I don't know, I guess a moniker. Maybe that was just my little moniker. And so I said, okay, the book or the podcast, whichever comes first, that's the title of it. So that is how what I know came to fruition.
Okay. And so since you mentioned the book, when are you going to complete it? Because I know I'm putting you on the spot, right?
You're awesome, right? I don't know. Do you have time? Can I just tell you my musings on life and you write it all down for me? I'm going to give myself a target date. I think that's what I have to do. Just like with anything else in my life, I'm good with blocking off time and managing my time and skills. But you know, you still have some things where you'll say, hey, you put it on the shelf. And life just has a way of getting in your way for all of us who are so-called prepared. Life still gets in our way. It might look like divorce for you, or it might look like a death in your family, or it might look like a new job or transitioning, and then you go, okay, I'm going to get to it after this life stressor. said that. I am going to put a time limit on it.
Okay, great. Because you know it's all, if you know me, it's all about goal setting. So I'm always trying to be specific and give it a timeline, because as long as it stays in your head, it's just going to be in your head. So you have to get it written down on paper and put in that timeline on it. So I am also interested to know, since it's Women's History Month, is there a woman, or it could be a man, who has been your greatest inspiration?
Oh, well, without even hesitating or thinking twice, my mother is my inspiration. I am blessed to still have my mother with me at 73 years of age, a beautiful Christian light and spirit and guide. And I can't do anything that I do without her support. My mother is one of those people, and she said it many times. I have two sisters. My mom had three daughters. And she said, we all came into the world, the earth. We all did. We were all breech babies. And she said, you know what? That's how I knew all of my girls would be okay. Because she said, I was worried that I had women. And I'm not going to tell you the decade I was born, but anyway, she said, I was concerned about you all and, you know, in society and what you're going into this cold world. She said, but you all came feet first, so I knew you would be okay. And she would still say, you could do anything. When I was 12, when I was 22, 32, I'm just a little above 32, frankly.
Okay.
We'll go in that, Alicia. Okay. Mm-hmm. No, I am so proud of aging, and I wouldn't change it for the world, because I know so much more than I did, and it is a beautiful thing. And as my mother would say, you know, if you are so lucky, you get to age, because the opposite of aging is when you stop. But she said, so she's been my inspiration, and she is, you know, says many times, you can do absolutely anything you want to do, and I guess I was just crazy enough to challenge her on that. And so I continue to, as my colleagues say, reinvent myself, which I think is a nice way of my colleagues terming that. But I do, and I don't feel like anything holds me back other than myself, like that book. I can write that book, and I think it would be a great success. I just haven't done it. But she gives me that inspiration every day, and we go on a prayer line every day. I talk to her multiple times a day, but she is really my mother, my friend, my inspiration, and she is definitely a wind beneath my wings and has always said that I could do anything, and I believe her. That is now. But I will tell you what, when you're talking about women, I haven't always heard of this story, but Dawn Weaver, and this black lady, black woman-owned whiskey And it was all about how this black slave, Uncle Nearest, had helped with the Jack Daniel's whiskey brand. And I'd never heard mm-hmm. that before. I never knew anything about a slave helping him put together and distill the whiskey. But this lady went back and created a foundation and gives scholarships to anyone in his family who is and now she's got like this huge brand. But I Fawn Weaver, so I've been seeing her and I've been telling people anybody too. So I'd love to meet her because she just has her finger on the pulse, and that you would be so bold to do something and challenge and bring it to light and make such a success of it. So she is like this modern day hero for me. But again, at the end of the day, it is my mother, she's my inspiration.
Okay, awesome. And if anybody wants to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Well, if you want to get in touch with me, my website is whatiknowalicia.com, and Alicia is spelled A-L-E-C-I-A. Or you can go to Facebook, Alicia Taylor, What I Know, or LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn, Alicia Taylor, What I Know. And again, it's A-L-E-C-I-A. Or you can email me, Alicia@whatiknowalicia.com. And, of course, I encourage everyone to go to the podcast and to listen to any of our previously recorded episodes. And there's always new content. And there's always something for somebody. And I always tell people, go keep going through, because maybe the episode on unhealthy relationships you didn't feel like was for you, but maybe the one upcoming on credit or financial matters or how your job is impacting you or the lack of cultures and textbooks, whatever it is that interests you, I tell people to, you know, to, I challenge them to go on and see. And I hope they take away something.
Okay, great. And so did you give, could you give the information on how they would find your podcast? Now, would they find it on your Facebook page, or is that what you're saying, or is it some other way they have to?
If you go to my Facebook page or to my website, you can find it. But I am on, anyone who listens to podcasts to listeners to just about any site, if you key in What I Know and then Alicia Taylor, A-L-E-C-I-A, but the podcast company that I go through is Libsyn, L-I-B-S-Y-N. But you could do a search with just What I Know, Alicia Taylor. But I am at Libsyn, LIBSYN.com slash and the number 452955. But I haven't had anyone have any trouble that if you go to where any podcast from Spotify to Apple,
I sure hope
they do.
Okay, great. Because, you know, people, you know, they only hear part of what you're saying, even though they're listening, and I'm not saying they're not listening,
mm-hmm.
but
right.
It has to be an easy way for them to find it. Otherwise, they won't. So that's why I wanted you to reiterate how they can find you.
Oh, yeah.
And so we definitely,
What I Know. Just put in What
okay.
I Know and spell Alicia. My Alicia is spelled a little differently, and that's just A-L-E-C-I-A Taylor, just like it sounds, T-A-Y-L-O-R. But What I Know, just those three words.
Gotcha. So I am just excited for you and glad that you are doing well in your podcast. And so your episode coming up, what is it going to be about, your next topic?
Our next topic is actually, I said, in this, and I know, Francine, this is probably right in your backyard, and this is your wheelhouse, I know for sure. I have a friend that I've known since grade school through high school. Her name is Dionne James Perry, but she is a financial literacy and credit kind of guru. And she has
mm-hmm.
just released her second book, and it came out on Amazon. And so financial literacy and improving your, and just knowing your credit, and you know that because you're a money person and you know how important it is that your money and everything else, you know, touches that. That's your livelihood. So her whole emphasis was that so many times that young minorities don't have the same teaching and exposure to how important your good name and your credit is. So she has gone back even to, like, our former high school. And so she's reaching out and just showing people in a very easy, palatable way how to get your credit cleaned up, how, even for young people, how to start with having a good, healthy credit history. So she is coming out with us next week, and I'm so excited because this is her second book. And I said, hey, I'm ready for you. She kept saying, no, wait for the second book to drop. So financial literacy and credit and how important that is to you. And I think that's huge. And we are just coming off the heels of my episode on ageism. And it was so well received. And I think I got on my soapbox because, well, I know I have had that being, you know, someone not wanting to accept you or saying, oh, well, you know, they think that maybe, you know, they're too young or too old. So that's a real thing. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was interesting to hear that they're calling it the last socially acceptable prejudice, being ageist. And I think it's just difficult to fathom that in this day and time, that people would not know what someone, an older adult, has to contribute to a team.
Okay, that sounds intriguing. So I am encouraging all of our listening audience to hop on over there and search for What I Know with Alicia Taylor, and come back and let us know what you think about the podcast. So, Alicia, we're coming on 2 minutes now, so I definitely have one more question for you. And I was reading your bio, I noticed that you had received a proclamation from the mayor of Chesapeake for your work with homeless services. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, homeless services is something that had been near and dear to my heart, and I spent over 10 years with two different shelters and creating circles with from chairing committees for homelessness. I mean, I physically went in the streets and we did counts and we were under bridges and the coldest night of the year, December 21st, and putting bags together and creating the one day with Project Homeless Connect. And so when I go in, I go 100% in, and I think, you know, I was so grateful to the city of Chesapeake. Actually, they realized what we were doing. And appreciated me, and we were, you know, it was a humbling experience that they would, you know, do a proclamation, but that was Mayor Alan Krasnoff at that time. But it really meant, you know, a lot to me. I mean, I did the work just because I enjoyed doing the work, but it was gratifying to have the city say, we are aware of what you have been doing, and we appreciate you. So I thank the city of Chesapeake. I thank that Mayor Alan Krasnoff for his dedication to homeless services.
Great. And so we're down to about 1 minute, so we're going to wrap it up. But just one more time, give the information how they can find your podcast.
You can find me at almost every podcast listing. If you key in just What I Know, Alicia Taylor, you will not miss that. If you forget that, you can find me on Facebook. You can go to my website, which is just www.whatiknowalicia.com.
Awesome. Well, Alicia, it has been a pleasure to have you on my show, and I hope one day I'll have the privilege of joining you on yours. And we look forward
Absolutely.
To hearing more about what you're doing in the future. And ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to the end of another broadcast for Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. So, Alicia, thank you so much, and I will talk to you soon. So, everybody, have a great
thank
night.
You.
Yes, and it is March the 17th, so people are out celebrating. So whatever you're celebrating,
yes,
just make sure that you're safe and do it with intelligence and make good decisions. So thank you so much,
yes.
And I will see you all next week. Take care now. Bye-bye.